Hello, everyone, and welcome to EuroLeague and Friends MVP Talk. I'm Dane R. Lucas. This is the final episode of the season, and let's take you back. May 21st, 2022, Evan Fournier tweets out, "If I had to return to Europe and I had the choice to go wherever I wanted, I think I would go to Olympiakos. It's still a hell of a club." Fast track, 3 years and 4 days later, he's a EuroLeague MVP of the Final Four. He's the champion, and he's broken the 13-year drought in Piraeus. Ladies and gentlemen, the EuroLeague champion, your Final Four MVP, Evan Fournier. My man, congratulations, brother. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's so good to have you here. And I'm assuming it's been a wild last couple of weeks. Take me first through a bit of the party in Piraeus. I'm sure you imagined it, but was it anything like you ever imagined?
No, it's impossible to be honest, no. What was wild is that we had the parade right after the game, you know. Yeah. I would have thought it would have been, you know, the next day or, I don't know, a couple of days
later. You guys didn't really know it was coming either, right? There was no sort of indication like, hey, this is what's waiting or...
No, no clue, man, no clue. It was honestly chaos right after the game because nobody wanted to leave the court. The fans wanted to stay. We all had, you know, the family coming on the court, celebrating and stuff. Then it was pictures in the locker room. And then, you know, we stayed probably 2 hours in the arena after the game. And then we went back to the hotel real quick to grab a bite. And they told us, hey, we have a parade going. The bus is outside. You guys have 5 minutes. Let's go. But by then it was already 2 a.m., you know, 2, 3 a.m.
Yeah, and they were just waiting for you guys, ready to start the party.
Yeah, and so from the hotel to Piraeus, it took us, you know, it's usually like 20 minutes. And then with the traffic and people stopping us and people outside, it took us like an hour and a half to get to Piraeus. And so we get to the main place.
Sure you didn't. That was the first time you didn't mind waiting in traffic in Athens, though.
Not
right?
at all. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It was incredible. It was honestly incredible. And then we get to the main place in Piraeus at like 4:35, and it's like 100,000 people. It was absolutely nuts. It was nuts.
I'm not gonna ask you who got the most lit, but who had the most fun on the team, you think, that night?
I was in the back of the bus with Moose and the guys up front. So the Greeks. Larenzakis, Papanikolaou, Sasha, even Milou. I think these were the top four, I'd say.
The guys who have been waiting for it the longest, right? I guess that makes sense.
probably, yes.
Have you had a moment? I know you guys got right back into the sort of league play and all that stuff, but have you had a moment to digest kind of everything that happened over that weekend?
I think we have daily reminders, like every time we see people outside or we go to a restaurant or, you know, we hang out, whatever, people are always, they always have a nice word to say, congratulations, you know, you guys made us proud and stuff like that. Thank you.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of rough to jump right into, you know, the end of the season with the Greek League Finals playing Pana.
Sure.
it's tough, but hopefully we can get it done and you know, we have a great summer.
All right, so let's take it back 2 years ago. You were leaving one chapter of your life, starting another chapter of your life. 2 years later, looking back, could you have written a better script?
I mean, when I signed here, the goal was to win. I mean, as you guys know, I was extremely disappointed and almost shocked that we lost last year against Monaco. So you know, the goal was to win last year, but you know, the fact that we got it done in Greece, in Athens, somehow it makes the story a little bit more special, I think, for us, but for the fans as well. So you know, I wouldn't change anything.
You were in the Final Four 2 years ago, watching as a spectator when Misic hit the three. Mm-hmm. To break the hearts of all Olympiakos fans all over the place. And that was kind of when you put the tweet out, right? That if you had a chance to come to Olympiakos, that would be where you wanted to come if you returned to Europe. Were the wheels already in motion? Were you already kind of in contact, or is it just kind of coincidence that it all happened like this?
No, not at all. You know, the Final Four in Belgrade was in 2022. Back then, I was coming off a really good season with the Knicks. I was under contract for another two more years. I was, you know, at the top of my career in the NBA. You know, I was breaking records and stuff. So not at all. I mean, I meant what I said. Yeah. But, you know, I thought maybe, you know, I have another 4 or 5 years before this actually happens. And, you know, my career went downhill real quick with the Knicks. In 1 year, I went from starting to not playing at all. And so, you know, after the Olympics, I had the opportunity and, you know, I jumped on it.
And once you signed with the club, once you signed with Olympiacos, really, how long did it take to figure out just how important it is, not just to the club, but to the fans, to everyone around Piraeus, that EuroLeague is top priority around here?
So to be completely transparent, right after the Olympics, I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep playing. You know, my mind was, I was asking myself a lot of questions. You know, when you stay in one place for 12 years, and you don't know what the future looks like, you have a family, you have two kids. You know, I've moved a little bit in my career, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to, you know, start over in a new country, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, my wife and I, we took a little break after the Olympics. We went to Italy, and after probably a good week, you know, we talked about it, and, you know, I told her, okay, I think I want to keep playing. You know, I'm ready for a different challenge, something exciting. I need to feel, you know, excited about playing again. And this is the place I want to go to. This was the only place for me. And my agent started calling Olympiacos, and it happened actually really, really fast.
And once you got here, you kind of adapted immediately to the culture, to what they want, right? I mean, they let you know kind of right off the bat that this is the expectation of this club. And we hold you to that expectation, right?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, that's also, you know, a big reason why, you know, I wanted to come here, because I think it's the perfect mix. You know, you have a team that wants to win, you have a fan base that's amazing, and you have a place where you can really grow as a family. You know, at Athens and Greece overall is really nice. And so to me, it was the perfect place. And you know, you jump right into a new situation, but after that, it's basketball, because you know, practices.
What you're most comfortable with, right?
Yeah. I mean. My adaptation to the team was very smooth, you know, with the coaching staff and the, you know, the teammates. That was the easy part, to be honest. The part where I was a little bit worried, I'd say, is different country, different language, the adaptation for my family, etc. But this was also extremely smooth, so all good.
2010 Final Four in Paris. You were there, right? 17, 18 years old, something like that.
I was 16. Yeah, I was 16.
You were 16 years old, and Olympiacos against Barcelona. You were in the thick of the Red Sea of Olympiacos, right?
Yes.
You're kind of is that where the love affair kind of started to catch fire?
100%. it was my first EuroLeague game live. Obviously, Paris didn't have a team back then in the EuroLeague, so this was my first opportunity to, you know, see the EuroLeague up close, and it was a Final Four. So, you know, I get to the game with my friend, and we realize that we are right in the middle of you know, the Red fans, and to me it was all new. You know, I've never seen, you know, such passion from fans before, and I was really like, what the hell is this? What is this? This is nuts. Who are these guys? And from that, you know, I kind of developed like a weakness for that team. You know, they had really good players. They had Papa Lucas, who was my favorite player in Europe back then. They had Patrick Beverley, Teodosic, Baby Shaq, etc., etc. And I kind of, you know, kept looking at that team. 2 years later, they win the EuroLeague with a Printezi shot, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, that love started from then.
And so after that shot from Printezi, it was a long wait, right?
Yeah.
13 years. You guys got close plenty of times. Last year, you mentioned the moment after the semifinal loss in Abu Dhabi. And the maybe one of the moments of that Final Four, or any Final Four really, was you coming off the court and being consoled by Spanoulis. I'm sure you didn't want to talk to anybody in that moment at all, but if there was one person you might say, okay, make an exception for, it was probably Billy, right? What was that moment like for you? What did he tell you, and what stuck with you?
Yeah, I just I just broke down after the game. You know, we were supposed to go through media and stuff, and I don't know, I just, the emotions were raw and really high. I was extremely disappointed, and you know, he came with the right energy, because you're right, I didn't want to talk to anybody, but he came with the right energy. He shared a little bit of his experience and wisdom, and you know, it felt good. I mean, it didn't erase the pain, obviously, but you know, from a former player that went through the same pain, you know, it was a form of respect, and I appreciated that moment for sure.
So a year after that moment, right? You guys are back in the Final Four after, really, you looked like the best team all year long. Did it feel like you guys were the best team all year long?
I think we had ups and downs. I mean, we finished first for a reason, but we finished first the season before that too, and right. You know, we still lost. I think for three quarter of the season, Fenner was the better team. They were really rolling, and for some reason, they just like that last portion of the season, they didn't play as well, and that's actually when we got better. So the dynamics really changed with one quarter of the season left. And after that, we never looked back. And yeah, I was confident coming into Final Four.
I asked Sasha earlier in the year when he won the February MVP. I asked him if it was an obsession to win the Final Four. He said no, but that was in the middle of the season when you guys didn't do the job already. Mm-hmm. Now that the job is done, can you go back and say, yeah, we were obsessed with this?
I can only speak personally, and the true answer for me is yes and no. No, because on a day-to-day basis, you don't think about it. You know, like in February, you think about whatever's next. Whoever are we playing next? What's the practice going to be like? Yeah. But you keep in mind the bigger goal. The bigger goal is always to win. Always. Yeah. I mean, you know, losing in semis or final is not what we want. You know, we want to win. That's the bigger goal. That's the only thing we want. And so in that sense, yes, we are a bit obsessive. You know, we're always talking about when we're going to win, when we're going to win, et cetera, et cetera. But on a day-to-day basis, I'm focused on what I have to do today. So it's a tricky question, really. But I think if you ask Sasha in February, that was the right answer, because our mind was just on playing better.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, man. I'm not here to give you layups. I'm here to try to test you a little bit, brother.
I see that.
Fenner in the semis. Defending champions. It's in Athens. Obviously, semifinals are pressure-packed, but with the kind of stage set as it was, that had to be almost as pressure-packed as a final, right? I mean, I got to think, with everything at stake, with where it was being played against the defending champs, couldn't be much higher in terms of what was on the line.
Yeah, I mean, you prepare for a game where it's win or go home, really. We knew that we was playing against a very physical team, a team that's going to be extremely prepared, very well-coached team. So, you know, we approached the game with the right mindset, I think. And, I mean, the fans were incredible, and they really gave us like a push and a boost of extra energy. So. It went well for us. It went well.
Well, you started it well, and I'm not sure if it was the fans who pushed you out to that incredible defensive effort, but 6 or 7 minutes without allowing a point. I mean, was it the way what coach said in the locker room? Was it just your guys' preparation? Were you just locked in? How did you, and what was it like watching it from the bench those first, what, 5, 6, 7 minutes?
Well, it's, you know, when things like this happen, it's always a mix of many things. The thing number one is we were extremely locked in. The adrenaline was really, really high. And, you know, there was a sense to me during this Final Four, there was a sense around the team that, okay, we're not going to let that opportunity slip away. We're going to make the most of it, and this Final Four is ours. That's really how we felt, You know, I think overall that's how we felt as a team. And we were extremely confident, but still like we remained extremely focused. And then I think Fenner didn't play their best game either. It was two things at once.
It's not easy to jump out to a big lead and kind of keep that big lead all throughout the four quarters. But they did have a time when they were making a little run into the game, right? Making a run back into cutting into the lead. But then you come up and you drop a massive three from way downtown. What was going through your mind kind of before, during, and after that shot?
Just trying to play the game, trying to read the game. You know, when the opposing team is making a run and our offense becomes a little bit stagnant and, you know, we start struggling and stuff, you know, this is usually where I try to, you know, make a play. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, during that play, I think our initial action didn't work and, you know, there was a go screen and, you know, I had like 5 or 6 seconds left on the clock. So I tried something and, you know, it went in. So, you know, I got lucky.
Yeah, lucky. I'm sure it was all luck, man. No skill there. Come on, give yourself a little bit of credit. But that was kind of the shot that settled that semifinal game. Then the championship game. Madrid comes in wounded, no big guys, and somehow they came out on fire. And all those kind of ghosts in the back of your mind, and the histories of Final Four's past. Did that start to trickle in, or was it just okay? We got off to a tough start, but hey, how do we rebound from this?
Personally, there was not 1 second where I felt like we was going to lose that game.
Really?
Yeah, not 1 second. I told you, it was like this cloud above us that we all felt. It was like, okay, this is ours. We're not going to lose. We're going to find a way regardless. I was obviously a little worried the first 5 minutes of the game because I think Madrid got up 13 or 12 and yeah. I didn't want the lead to extend to like 18 or 17 because then it becomes really tricky for us coming off the bench to kind of get back into the game. But the starters did their job. They kind of cut the lead, the deficit. And after that, you know, we just played our basketball, kept playing hard. Madrid played really well. They played an extremely well game, and they gave everything. You know, they really gave us problems on offense, and you know, it was a good final, I think.
It was a great final. You had two free throws at the end, right, to go up 8. I think with like 36 seconds left.
Yes.
Obviously, the difference between a 2-possession and a 3-possession lead is big. But were those as pressure packed as maybe it might have seemed, or the most pressure impact of your life, or was those would just boom go to the line and stroke it and move on?
Actually, I had 4 free throws. We were up 4. I have 2 free throws to go up 6 and make both, and then from up 6 to up 8. So that was 4. But no, honestly, it's just free throws. You know, you try to remember your routine all the time. You shot free throws and it's a fun time, to be honest. I mean, it's fun. You know, it's
you want those free throws, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's an opportunity to prove yourself. You know, to have fun. You know, it's moments that as a kid, you know, you dream of. You know, final game, key free throws, key shots, etc., etc. You know, it's fun. It's fun. Those are the shots you want to be a part of.
And there you were at the line, closing out the game. Not just winning the Final Four, not just, you know, bringing the title back to Piraeus, but winning the MVP as well.
Yeah, for sure.
There we go. Come on, man. Bravo. Congratulations,
thank
man.
You. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You win the MVP. You go back and kind of look at the crowd. You said after an interview, after the first game, how strange it was. In the semifinal, was it just as strange in the final and winning it on that floor? I talked to a lot of guys and they said it didn't matter that you guys won it where you won it. But did you kind of have a little bit of extra special motivation?
I don't know if extra motivation is the right word, but there was something different than when, like for example, last year in Abu Dhabi, it wasn't the same feeling. I mean, it just wasn't, you know, I gotta be honest. Motivation, I don't know, but yeah, it was like it wasn't a regular Final Four, I think, for us. It was extra motivation for the fans, I'll tell you that right now. That's for sure. but that's why I think it makes the story even better, personally.
And you're in a city where they covet their heroes, their legends. And, you know, Zeus, Hercules, Athena. Now you got Evan Fournier, you got Sasha Vazenkov, man. You guys are going to be part of history for a long time. I know it's like, you know, a little bit of an exaggeration, but these guys, they're your heroes now, just like, you know, the Greek gods of yesteryear. So that's got to mean something. That's got to be a little special to you, right?
100%, 100%. You know, but even for us players, you know, you want to be a part of something special. You want to be a part of something that lasts, right? And to win a championship, you know, you create something that lasts for forever. I mean, you know, there's always going to be that banner up there. And, you know, you create a bond with a group of players and coaches, and that bond is going to stay for a very long time. You know, every time I'm going to see Sasha in 10, 15, 20 years, we're always going to have memories, and we're always going to have stuff to talk about. And I think that's what makes sports so special.
In 2024, you came to Athens, right? And you got a hero's welcome already. At the airport. was that the kind of the moment where you said, wow, this doesn't happen anywhere else? Like, this place is different, this place is special.
100%, 100%. So I land, because you have to remember, I land, I think, on a Monday night, so weekdays, and I landed like 1 a.m. And it was like thousands of people. And in my mind, I was like, what the is this? What did I get myself into? You know, and that night I can barely sleep that night because the adrenaline is so high. And it was really at that moment on my very first night where I understood, okay, this is a different type of challenge. It's more than basketball. You know, usually players, like, we want to win for ourselves, we want to win for our families, and obviously the fans, but it's mostly ourselves. Let's be honest. And when I got here, I understood, okay, this, like, we have to win for them, right? For the club, because it's, for the first time in my career, I felt like I was playing for something like bigger, you know, than myself or than the team I was on. And that was a huge, huge motivation for me to win for them.
And you kind of embraced the culture, the food, the people immediately.
100%, yeah.
And I feel like that kind of made your connection with the fans even stronger, not just as a player, but kind of as a human being.
Well, I'm a bad liar. You know, I don't know how not to be myself, and I think people realize that. Like, when I say something, I mean it. When I act a certain way, I'm just being myself. I'm not trying to fake who I am, and I'm a passionate guy. And you know, it just happens that I found a passionate team, passionate fan base. The way of life in Greece is, I mean, it fits me. I really, really enjoy it. The food is incredible. It's just overall, like, I didn't know what to expect, because, you know, I'd never set foot in Greece before signing here. And it just happens that, you know, it's very comfortable living here. You know, my kids love it, my wife too. So we are a very, very happy family.
You said you're half French, half Algerian, and your second home is Greece, right?
Yes.
How long did it kind of take to make you feel like that was home, a second home?
Took a little bit of time. I mean, I obviously felt welcome and felt good being here since day one. But, you know, to find your habits, to make friends, to learn a little bit of the country you're in, you know, it takes a little bit of time. I think everything changed for me and my family when my kids started to really make friends, and we started meeting parents and hanging out together and doing boat days during the weekends and stuff like this, where you really start connecting with people from here.
Right. Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. and you know,
a little life outside the gym, right?
Yeah, of course. Actually, it's more about outside of the gym than inside the gym, because I'm going to be close to my teammates, obviously. It's more about, you know, who you're meeting outside the court and making friends and learning, you know, different stuff from the country you're at.
And you got a lot of help because you asked for a lot of help with recommendations for food and restaurants. We all know the story, but what's one that you look back on and say, this was the recommendation that changed my life? I can't live without this or this or whatever it was.
I can't lie. I can't just pick one. I can't pick
one.
No, because I'm in love with feta. I can't lie. I'm in love with black olives from Kalamata. I love with it. And I'm in love with sweets. I mean, those are the main three, probably. The good part is that I have a chef here, and my chef is the one really, how can I say this? My chef is the one experiencing everything for me, and then I get the best of the best.
and then they kind of just, you pick and choose what you like, what your favorites, and go on repeat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So there was a clip on social media, a TikTok clip of you and your barber, who said that he can do whatever he wants to your beard if you guys won the EuroLeague. I'm looking at it right now. I don't see much of a difference, right? Did he do anything? Did he get a chance to touch you up just yet?
Well, we say after the season.
Okay.
Yeah, I never should have agreed to this. He surprised me with that one, but you know, I think I'm going to try to negotiate with him to maybe do a collar or something and not cut it.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see.
So after the celebration and everything kind of wore down, in the stadium, I talked to Tyson, I talked to Nikola, I talked to Tyler, and man, I was surprised because the celebration was still going on, and they're talking about going back to back. They were already kind of in that mindset, just maybe 30, 40 minutes after winning the title. How long did that kind of take to enter your mind as well?
Not immediately, I can't lie.
No.
Not immediately. I was enjoying the moment, but I surprised myself thinking about it, you know, a few days later, because the emotions were so high and the moment was so special. I mean, it was really so special. It was like emotionally, it was like a peak in my life, right? It wasn't the most emotional moment, but it was up there for sure.
And I
don't mean basketball. I mean like in life, period, right? And so you want to live those moments again, you know? You want to have that moment again and maybe enjoy it even more because, you know, because we know what it feels like now to win the championship. We know what it feels like. We know what it does to people. It's like, okay, I have to live this again, right? And so I think that gives you an extra motivation to win again.
So you got, what, two more years on your contract. You said you want to retire it at Olympiacos. I'm just kind of painting the picture. So if it happens, we can look back at this moment and say, hey, but closing out the career with a three-peat, that doesn't sound too bad, does it?
let's not jump too far. You know, the goal for us is first of all to win these Greek League finals, and then we'll take care of business next year for the back-to-back. But listen, in sports, everything can change very, very fast. You know, we had the opportunity to win this year. We did it. That's great. We don't know how next year is going to go.
Yeah.
We know we're going to give everything we have to win, but you know, a lot of things can happen in between, and we have to be okay with that. And the most important thing is to give everything we have each day, and everything will take care of itself.
Man, it's been so cool talking to you, man. Congratulations for everything. Best of luck with the Greek finals.
Thank you. Thank you.
And man, enjoy the summer. You got any summer plans? Any good summer plans or anything like that?
Well, we do have some FIBA windows, so that's gonna be fun. that's rough, man. That's rough. Right after the EuroLeague season, it's rough. But outside of that, I'm gonna go home in Paris. I'll do a little Greek island tour, and then back in Athens for practices.
So just a little message to the fans who have been with us all season long. Before we bid you adieu on this final episode, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next year. Evan, you are a EuroLeague champion. You are a Final Four MVP, brother, and you are a great interview. Thank you so much for being with us, man. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, my man.
And,
take care.
Enjoy the summer. Take care, brother.
Bye. Bri. Thank you, bro.